Let's take our Bibles and join together in Galatians chapter 5. We continue our series and for this message. We are concluding today's message, today's series with this message. We're going back to that passage in Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to pick up that portion of Get Along, How to Get Along, Part 2. You recall 2 weeks ago we introduced Part 1. Now we're in Part 2, and then we'll look at the antidote. And so today I want us to finish this series. I hope that you will just let the Word of God speak to your heart today and make any course correction that's needed, as well as thank God and leave here with gratitude for what He is doing in your life through the work of the Holy Spirit. And then next week, we begin a new series, The Way of the Cross Leads Home, and we'll be marching toward Easter, April the 20th. And we'll be looking at the words Jesus spoke from the cross. I've never preached on that. I'm looking forward to preaching that. We'll take a few of those at a time and look at that and ask the Lord to lead us to His cross and what that can mean in a life transformation. Well, in this series, this is the choice we've been giving. You can either live in the flesh or live it by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do both. Can't do one on Monday and the next one on Sunday. I mean, you have to decide, what are you going to do? How are you going to find contentment and satisfaction? So you'll recall, we pick up in verse 16, this gives us some hard truths. Paul writes to them and says, "And I say, then walk by the Spirit, and you will not certainly carry out the desires of the flesh." People always ask, "Man, I'm always tempted to do this, and I just find this attraction to do the wrong thing. How can I not do that?" Well, number one, you'll not do it in willpower. You'll need Spirit power. So if you will yield to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, believe me, He gives you the strength to do what you cannot do on your own. That's how you live the Christian life. It's a Christian life. It's His life. You can't live it from the old side. You got to live it from the new side. And so He gives us that Spirit. Now, I'll not stop every verse and give you a sermon. So let's carry on to verse 17. He says, the flesh desires what's against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Holy Spirit, you are not under the condemning law. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. Today, we're going to look at these three. It says, jealousy. This is the second part of the list of social sins. Jealousy, envy, selfish ambitions, and anything similar. That's how this list of the flesh is not a comprehensive list. There's a number of lists and mentions of different kinds of sins. So he's just saying, these are indicative of living in the flesh and anything similar to this. Now, contrast that. He says, I'm warning you, this is a serious issue. As I've warned you before, those who practice such things as a lifestyle, that's what it means. It's in continuous action in the Greek. It means this. These type things, now you're not doing all of those lists in the flesh, but maybe there's two or three of those things that honestly, they describe your pattern of life. Hopefully not you here, maybe those listening on the broadcast. Hopefully you've come to Christ, you've awakened to that. And if you're searching, come to Christ. But the old life was characterized as a pattern by those things. But the fruit of the Spirit, what God produces in your life when you yield to them, to Him, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. In fact, you don't have to have a law against those things. They're all good things. We need more of those things, and it happens through your yielding to Christ and God's work, God the Holy Spirit, working out His gift of salvation, that transformation in your life And then you experience all of these fruit of God's work in your life. Today, we want to look at that second half, that second list of the social sins that shred, that tear the fabric of healthy relationships. Here you've got a good thing going. You've got a friend or maybe a schoolmate, a work associate, your marriage, a family member, an in-law. And all of a sudden, they get blessed materially. I mean really blessed materially. And you think, well, why are they getting so blessed? I didn't get something like that. And the old devil starts knocking on that door. You see, because the problem's not on the outside. Where's the problem? On the inside. It's our flesh. People say, well, the devil tempted me. No, the devil didn't tempt you. No, he didn't. Our old self tempts us. The devil just shouts at it, says, hey, I see what you're doing. I see that old desire in there. Why don't you give into it? Now, he'll encourage you, but the problem is on the inside. And it's so obvious. Have you ever seen somebody that commits social sins and starts destroying their relationship? Well, their outward expressions, we're going to look at these first, and then we're going to look at the core problem, the seed. Today, we're going to look first at the weeds, and they're various. The ones he lists here first is jealousies. It's part of the social sins. It's a word that we get our English word from the Greek, zealous. We get the word zeal. It means burning, heated, seething. Somebody gets a blessing and you want it. And you think, why are they getting it? I should have it and I want it. We become jealous. And when you're jealous, you covet what they have. Now, you're not admiring that they got blessed. You're not admiring they got the position. You're not admiring they got the advancement. But rather, you're lusting after what they have. That's jealousy. The old green eye of jealousy starts to take over our view. And all of us can be susceptible to it. It's the old flesh. We love to compare in our society. I've been looking at a car. It's about time for us to get another car. I wish I never had to buy a car. I wish you'd just buy one car and that was your car for a lifetime. I'd be satisfied. But they wear out. All moving things break and they wear out. So I've been comparing. Well, I love cars. I like to buy one and keep them forever, so I don't like to lose money. Cars is just a necessary thing. But I've been looking at all this and comparing. And I've compared cars every which way you can compare them. I've compared cars that I'll never be able to buy to the car that I was thinking about buying. And I was thinking, well, what if I got a Mercedes Maybach? You know, I could have my own limousine in the back, and it's got two reclining chairs, and it's got a little cooler there for your for your iced tea right there in the middle. And I'm sorry. But the point is, we love to compare everything, but we have an advanced degree in comparing our blessings to other people's blessings. I see on Facebook, they went to Disney World. Well, I wish I could go to Disney World this year. I see they're taking pictures from a South Caribbean island. I'm taking one from Lake Lincoln. Is that the same? I wonder how they're doing that. Probably on credit card. You know how it goes. It's that did I hit a nerve? Did I say too much right there? I say it. Why? Because I've thought it. It's that old flesh. It's so obvious. It is so obvious when it happens. But hey, envy. That is the wicked brother of jealousy is envy. Very similar. It's pain felt and malice conceived. In the sight of excellence or happiness in someone else. They get something. Now here's the difference. Here's the difference of jealousy and envy. Envy is also that green, green old evil of envy that comes upon you. Envy simply says, I don't want them to enjoy what they have. You don't particularly want what they have. You're not really lusting or coveting what they have. You've never really wanted that. You don't care. You just hate that they're happy and you're not. That all of a sudden they're going to prominence and you just wish that they were as miserable as you are. You wish you could knock them down a few rungs and can't wait till they get knocked down a few rungs. That is envy. And my friend, it will not only destroy your relationship, and you say, well, they'll never know. The sins of the flesh are what? Obvious. Pastor Nick pointed that out to me. We were talking about that a few weeks ago. And he said, you know, the thing that stands out to me is that word obvious. And it is so true, all of them. You're not hiding anything. You don't hide it from God. You're not hiding it from your spouse. They know. Your friends know. You see, that's the difference. One, we want what they have. The other one, we don't want them to have what they have. Both of them destroy relationships. Now, what's the real root cause of this problem? Really, this is the core problem. It's an inward attitude that is the seed that produces those weeds. It's selfish ambitions. Right there in Galatians 5, 20-21. Selfish ambitions. Selfish ambitions is seeking only one's own interest. It is scheming to advance yourself. It's self-aggrandizing attitudes which show itself in working to get ahead at other people's expense. If they get in the way, you'll run them over to get your advancement, whatever it takes, that attitude. I'm going to get mine. I'm going to win whatever it takes. That is that old flesh of selfish ambition. And it's the core issue of all sin. Selfishness. It's the root that drove Adam and Eve. All the devil had to say is, hey, I think God's not shooting you straight there. If you go get that fruit, he told you you can't have it. Don't touch it. You'll surely die. That's not the truth. He just don't want you to have what you have. See, the problem was not the devil made them think that. It was already in there. He just encouraged them, go ahead and give in to that old flesh. Disobey and you'll get ahead. You never do. There's a consequence for every bad decision, friend. It may not happen right away, but there's a payday for every rider's day. The core problem I have with my life is when the old self wants to take over. Conceit, selfish ambition. Friend, it will ruin your marriage. It will ruin your friendships. It will ruin your relationship with Jesus. Sure, we know that. Andy Griffith show was still one of my favorite all-time shows. Little Opie found a little trembly stray dog and brought it to the jail, asked Paul if he could keep it. He said, well, let me think about it. Well, the little stray dog got loose, but not to worry, he brought back a whole nother pack of dogs, a bunch of strays. Kind of let the word out, hey, I got a good thing going here. This little kid was going to feed us. So they all came to the jail. About that time, Andy and Barney realized and heard the state inspector is coming to inspect the jail. And here are all these stray dogs. What are we going to do? Well, you know Barney couldn't have that. Not at the Rock. Oh, no. So he said, I tell you what we got to do. He said, I'll put them in the car and I'll take them out to the country and they'll be able to play out the country. I mean, dogs, that's where they belong and they love to be out the country. And we'll do something good for them and we'll benefit ourselves and the state inspector will never know. So he does. And Opie hears about it, says, where are the dogs? Old Barney says, don't worry, I've taken them out to the country. And then a thunderstorm arises. Watch this video.
A dog can't get struck by lightning. You know why? Because he's too close to the ground. See, lightning strikes tall things. Now if there was giraffes out there in that field, well, then we'd be in trouble. You sure don't have to worry about dogs.
I'm worried about him, Pa.
Well.
Oh, look, Ope. What were dogs a million years ago? Wild animals, right? Wolves, coyotes, they know how to hunt and fish and look for shelter. You take them two big Airedales. Why, they looked as healthy as horses to me. And the little spotted one, he was in fine shape.
But the little one I first come in with, he was a trembler, wasn't he?
Him? Oh, well, the big ones will look after him. See, they take care of their own. You know dogs have a way of keeping dry. You know that. I mean, you know, they're insulated, you see. You know, they've got this fur, and that keeps them cool in the summer and warm and dry in the winter. They're really set up a lot better than human beings as far as that goes. As the little one goes, why, the big ones, they'll take care of him. You know, the little trembling one. And they're short, you see, close to the ground. That way they can't get struck by lightning. Now, if they was giraffes, they'd have been hit by now. But dogs are short, and they take care of their own. Giraffes don't. No, giraffes don't at all. Boy, giraffes are selfish. Just run around looking after number one, getting hit by lightning. But dogs... Just gonna sit there, or are you coming with me?
What?
To get them dogs, are you coming with me?
Well, those giraffes always looking out for number one, getting hit by lightning. Well, it turns out giraffes are not the only selfish creatures on God's planet Earth. It comes natural to us too. And the consequence, James says in chapter 3, is worse than lightning. But if you have a bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast about it or don't cover it up and try to deny the truth. Face the problem. Such wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly. It's unspiritual, it's demonic. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder in every evil practice. You see, selfish ambition is indeed the root cause of every evil practice. It is the core problem. But God's wisdom is from above, the Holy Spirit. It produces righteousness, peace, and gentleness. In James' passage, and of course, we know in Galatians 5, all the wonderful fruit that it produces in our life. So we don't want to follow the old way. We want to follow God's way. Now, just like every poison has an antidote, you get struck by a viper, a poisonous viper, the first thing you need to do is immediately go to the emergency room. And there they have an antidote for that viper. That poison, if you get struck by this kind, they've got an antidote specifically to that particular viper. In this study, when I look at the list of the sins of the flesh and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it looks like certain fruit are the antidote for certain types of sin. And, of course, love and joy and peace and all those things. Well, today, the antidote for jealousy, envy, and selfish ambitions, goodness and faithfulness. These qualities in your life will keep the old flesh at arm's bay. It will negate and remove that temptation out of your life. It'll correct your attitude. When you put other people first and you act on it, this isn't just good intentions. The word here, goodness, means actual action. Do something beneficial. Do good for somebody else. It's not goodness if you just think about it. You know what I think today? I'm going to go help that person in their yard, and you feel so warm and fuzzy. You get that little warm and fuzzy. What a good boy am I. I thought a good thought today. You know what? Two weeks later, the leaves are still on your homebound senior adult yard you pass by every day. And you say, well, you had a warm fuzzy, but guess what? They still got leaves, and God told you to rake them, and you didn't do jack. That means you didn't do anything. That's not goodness, folks. When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your life, guess what he'll do? He'll put a rake in your hand. He'll put a casserole dish in your oven. He'll get you on a website to get an airplane ticket to Ecuador. He'll let you give up your spring break and go with the student group down to New Orleans. Go help a church reach their community for Christ. You do those things, First Baptist, and that's why you have a reputation of doing good things. You put action where your words are. When Mississippi Baptist sees your name, they know your name, because every month you act on mission giving at a sacrificial level, and they know who you are, and they've known who you are for over 100 years, this church. You may be around not quite as long as the convention, but you've put it into action. Your wife knows you as a good man. Why? Because she don't have to ask you to take the trash out. You actually do it before. Now, let me tell you something, women. If you're thinking, I shouldn't have to ask him to do that, ask him to do it. That's how men work. You say, well, I know that, but I shouldn't have to. Shouldn't have to has nothing to do with it. Just say, dear darling, honey, strong man of the world, do you think you could just share a little energy and take out the trash for me? I could do it myself, but the neighbors would talk. And so, make yourself look good. I'm just saying, you ever met somebody named Agatha? Now you know where the word comes from. It comes from the Greek word agathos. It just simply means good, beneficial, faithfulness, faithfulness. Now, I love this word, because when we hear faithfulness, what you mean oftentimes by faithfulness, what we mean, they show up. They show up. They're faithful. Boy, those people are faithful, and they're here every time the door is open. That's not what this word means in the Greek and here. Now, that is true of other uses of faithfulness. But here, it's a different word, and it means conviction. It means the ability to persuade someone to what is right. It means you are full of faith. Faithful. That is, it means something to you so much that you want to share the faith with somebody else. Faithfulness here, when you put it in action and you care about the lostness of someone else's soul, you care about the spiritual conviction of their life. Are they people of the faith? Have they had their sins forgiven? Are we brothers and sisters in Christ on the way to God's heaven? Do they know? Faithful people who are full of the faith will seek to convince and persuade and encourage and lift up somebody so they can see the cross of Calvary and be saved. That's what it means. And my friend, when you're about doing good and you're doing expressions of being full of the faith, my friend, selfishness, envy, and strife will have no room in your life because you're already full. You're full of faith. There is no room for the sins of the flesh. You're just so grateful. See, when the fruit of the Spirit comes, it not only blesses God, but it benefits others. This antidote to the sin, the poison of these sins, are simply following Jesus. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility. Consider others as more important than yourselves. Why do I struggle with jealousy and envy? Why do you struggle with jealousy and envy? Why does your friend, perhaps, or someone you love struggle with jealousy and envy, wanting what somebody else has, wishing somebody else didn't have what blessing God has given them? The real issue is, why are we so bent on selfish ambition and pursuing what we want, even more than what God wants? That's the real problem, is our pride. This list of sins in Galatians 5 is just one of the many lists in Scripture. You can go to, obviously, the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20. You can go to Proverbs 6. God hates six things. In fact, seven things He really hates. And it's a list of those sins. The first one was what? Haughty eyes, pride, jealousy, envy. Haughty eyes. That's the very first thing the writer of Proverbs wrote in that list. It's our core problem, our own selfishness. You know what I believe? I think we need to ask ourselves, when is the last time I've actually had peace with God? I've been at peace with God. I seek Him. Early in the morning, my song rises to Thee. Holy, holy, holy. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Give me this day Your will and eyes to see it and energy to do it. Help me enjoy serving others over myself. When have you been at peace with God? Have you ever been at peace with God? Paul writes a warning to us, and it's a severe warning. He lists all those sins. And he says, now folks, don't fool yourself. If when it's all said and done in your life and your well-earned reputation is that you practiced as a lifestyle, as a pattern of life, one of these sins or a few of these sins, you knew it. Now, every blue moon you might go to church. Every now and then you'd do something altruistic and you'd give a little money to the poor children's fund and make sure everybody knew about it. But in the pattern of life, one of these sins had gripped you and become your God. It was your idolatrous heart that gave into it, and that was your life. Paul writes very clearly, you've made your choice. I warn you, and let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, yes, you and I may commit a sin from time to time, but it ought to be the exception, and it ought to be the forgiven past of your life. You may struggle with something, but you have not given into it. You renounce it. You don't accept it. You testify against it, and you fight it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't let the devil put shame on you when you've given that to God and He's forgiven it. Don't let the devil bring up the past against you. That's not what this scripture says. We won't be perfect until we meet Jesus face to face on the other side of glory, and then He will finish his salvation work that he began at our conversion. For me, it was the age of 12. When was it for you? You say, I don't know. You need to know right now. And if God is calling you, you need to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Repent of that old life. Turn from that and put God where he belongs in the throne of your heart and mind and soul. And be saved today. The Bible says all those who call upon the Lord Jesus, the Lord shall be saved. Do you know you're saved? What is your testimony of your life? Right now, they say, no, I'm not perfect, but the overarching is my desire to follow Jesus. I love the Lord. My friend, enjoy your salvation. Enjoy your salvation and go share it with someone today. Look at this in my life, your life, our life. This is what we ought to love. Can we love more? Yes. Joy. Can you experience more joy? Yes, he does. Patience. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh, Lord Jesus, give us self-control. You get to have as much of that in the Holy Spirit as you can stand. Enjoy your salvation and share it today. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, almighty God, we ask that today you have your way. Do what only you can do in our life. Father, we need you. Someone here needs to confess their sin and turn from it and say, I need Jesus, and be saved. Let them take their stand today. Others may need a church home and say, yes, I am. We're of like faith, and yes, I've been baptized. Or maybe you need to be baptized as a believer. You've never been baptized as a believer. And you say, I want to come. I'm a Christian. I trust Jesus as my Savior and Lord. And I need to follow him in believer's baptism. Come. If God is leading you, we would gratefully receive you. That is your testimony. And you want to come by statement, or maybe you're a member of a Southern Baptist church and you're coming by transfer of letter. The church doors are open, but that's always the case. But today, I want to pray for that life that's really struggling, Lord. I know what it is to really struggle on these matters and just have to once again yield my heart to you and trust you and renounce the sin and rejoice in your salvation. Some of you, this could be a turning point in your life. You're saved, but you're really struggling and you're ready to move forward in obedience to Christ in these areas. Why not today? Take your stand for Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you please stand? Let's sing to the Lord and you come as he leads us.